DMA Roberts Stage and Studio. You're listening to music by Joe Kai. Hear his music at joekai.com. Today I feature Lakewood Theater Company's Shakespeare in Love. I'll be talking with director David Sicking about the romantic comedy that was first a film and now is a stage play. Shakespeare in Love runs through November 1st, actually opens November 1st and runs through December 8th at Lake Oswego. And we'll also hear an excerpt of an interview by KBOO's Jenna Yokoyama about The Brothers Paranormal. It's currently running at Coho Productions through November 16th. We'll hear from playwright Prince Gomovilas and actors Andrea White and Samson Searoth. Stay with us. This is Stage and Studio.
Mistakes, so have you.
I'm DMA Roberts. The Brothers Paranormal by Prince Gomovilas is a gender-bending play about two Thai American brothers who start a ghost hunting business. Their first clients are an African American couple who were displaced by Hurricane Katrina. They also think they're being haunted by a Thai girl ghost. The show runs through November 16th at Coho Productions and is being co-produced by my nonprofit, Media Rights, and our Theater Diaspora program. Here's a short excerpt of the interview by Jenna Yokoyama with Thai American playwright Prince Gomovilas and actors Andrea White and Samson Searoth. The full-length interview aired last Friday on Radio Zine.
Well, The Brothers Paranormal is about two Thai-American brothers who launch a ghost hunting business in order to capitalize on the nationwide increase in sightings of Asian-looking ghosts. So they are called to investigate the home of an African-American couple who are being haunted by an Asian-looking ghost. And that's basically the plot.
When I first read the description of the play, I giggled a bit when I saw Asian-looking ghost put in quotes.
Yes.
and I wondered, well, what is an Asian-looking ghost? And what I thought in my head was that idea, you know, the person in all white with
yes.
the hair in front. And then I saw your poster and went, oh, my goodness, this
yes.
is going to be a scary moment.
Right. I mean, that's a very iconic image. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we know it here in the West as the girl from the ring, right?
Yeah.
But that image has been in Asia for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. So Prince, you're a playwright. You wrote this play. And what year did you write? Or first start your stage readings on these and production on
I started writing the play in about 2011.
Okay.
And developed it in a writing workshop with Center Theater Group down in Los Angeles. And then over the course of 8 years, I've done stage readings and developmental workshops of this play all around the country. So I've had nearly, I would say, almost 10 kind of stage readings of this before all of a sudden this year, a whole bunch of theaters wanted to produce it around the same time. So it's been a long journey, but very, very gratifying now.
Wow. So talking about stage readings, actually here in Portland, that was one of the places that had a stage reading back in January of 2018, which, Samson, I know that you were a part of that. Can you talk a little bit about what that stage reading was back in 2018, which I know also Prince was here mm-hmm. for that whole process?
Yeah, it was a really great experience to have Prince here. We workshopped it a bit to see how the relations of each characters were with each other and how the storyline flowed and really the plot points and how they were, how they flowed together. It was a great experience to have the audience feedback. They really appreciated the representation, and that's really what we're about at Media Rights Theater Diaspora, is really representing authentically. When we did this reading, this stage reading, it was it really stuck with us, and we knew that this is something that we wanted to produce fully. And when Coho opened up their process for picking co-producers, I definitely jumped at the chance. And when we applied, we had so many conversations with Philip Cuomo and the staff at Coho, and yeah, we really jived, and here we are now.
First time collaboration. This is exciting. Yeah. Exciting for the theater world here in Portland. And as Princess, you were talking about, you know, you've been working on this work for quite a while, and then all of a sudden, in the last, like, you know, year, you are now having this rolling world premiere happening of The Brothers Paranormal. I don't know if our if many audiences know what a rolling world premiere is. Can you describe what that's been for your show here?
Well, there's an organization called the National New Play Network, which sort of has a formal infrastructure for rolling world premieres, which means a play will be performed during the course of a season or two at many different theaters across the country. So that's the idea of a rolling world premiere. This particular rolling premiere is actually accidental. So there is no infrastructure supporting this. It's just serendipity, or I don't know what it is. But all of a sudden, just everybody thought that this was the year that they wanted to do it.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the kind of nuts and bolts of what's behind this production. But what we're going to see on stage, if you're able to get out there, is talking about, well, essentially it's a ghost story, right? But it's more than just a ghost story. From what I understand, it's also about healing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the play deals with it. The play is kind of traffics in multiple genres, which can be unusual to a lot of Western audiences, but it's not really unusual for Thai audiences or Asian audiences, right? So I always describe the play as a horror comedy drama. Right, so there's a lot of things going on. The play starts out very funny. It gets genuinely scary, and then it gets it could get kind of sad, perhaps. This is not unusual in Thailand. I mean, you see a lot of Thai movies where, you know, in one moment there's crazy, brutal, bloody action, and then the next moment there's like this nutty scatological humor, and the next moment it's like high family melodrama. And to Western audiences, it's like it causes us a kind of like intellectual whiplash. But I really wanted to play with that in this play, and then also this theme of healing definitely comes in because the play not only deals with the very surface pleasures of the horror genre, but has deeper issues at play and in mind, and those are, you know, how people deal with loss and grief and things of that nature.
Well, I know at the heart of the story, at the plot, is Andrea, your character, right, is someone who's now living in the Midwest because they've been displaced by Hurricane Katrina. So obviously at the part of that story is trauma and what it is to be displaced. Can you tell us a bit about your character and what this experience has been for you?
Delia is, she is a woman who feels incredibly deeply, and she has a sense of home with her at all times. She and Felix, her husband, there's something very special about New Orleans. It's its own culture. To be displaced from there and be in this completely new place, I think that there is a great sense of loss for she and Felix. Not just what they've lost, you know, as far as personal items and people, but just their sense of home. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I think that she carries with her, you know, always. But there's also this a fear of going back because there's a possibility of the catastrophe that was Katrina. Mm-hmm. And I actually went back to New Orleans 7 years after Katrina on a trip, and it was so fresh and full for the people that were there. It's something that will never go away, that destruction, that displacement. So that's what she carries with her, as you know, throughout the play.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like another thing, the word haunting really sticks with me, because it's not only haunting of a ghost, but the things that haunt you in life. Like the past or
fear,
a lot of the play involves a lot of mental illness, especially in the communities of color, because they're not talked about very
Correct.
Often.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to really bring that up and have a conversation, it's really important.
Not to give away too much of the plot, but how is it that the discussions about mental health kind of get folded into this ghost story?
Well, I think that there is a question early on in the play of whether or not the ghosts that are being talked about in the play are actually real. So there is this question of what is real and what is not, what could be mental illness and what could not, what could be supernatural and what could not. So that is a question that is played with, and a tension that is throughout the early part of the play, definitely.
I'm most interested in the haunting of the living characters. And quite honestly, it's written so beautifully that just the character-driven drama and their journey, that the fears that they have are actually equal to the fear of, you know, possibly having a ghost haunting your house. I mean, just the emotional journey that they go on. But yeah, so I believe that I have possibly seen some kind of entity at one time or another. Maybe. Might be my imagination. I don't know.
What about Samson for you? Has this been any sort of, learning experience or bringing yourself into this?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually part
we
Thai. I found
places.
Out.
Oh, really?
Through like a genetics test that I'm part Thai, actually.
Oh, you can claim
but,
it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But I'm mostly Lao. But in our culture, it's very similar to Thai. But we also believe in like ancestral spirits, and we have spirit houses in our yard where we put food and things for our ancestors for when their spirits while moving on. So I've always had this supernatural element in my life, so it's kind of nice to dive into a play that kind of delves into that.
Very curious. I'm so curious to see this show now. I'm going to try to go on POC night.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll show up on Halloween. Maybe I'll just show up to both nights so that I can. I want to be a ghost. I want to dress up. I'm going to admit it. I want to come on Halloween.
Speaking of POC night, I don't know that if it's particularly clear to the listeners that this play actually exclusively, in terms of the characters, is populated by actors of color and characters of color, right? It doesn't happen very often. And to have this intersection of race, Asian American and the African American, is also very rare. And I really love this casual intersection of race, where races can be represented and come together, and it's not necessarily about race relations or racism or anything like that. These are people just going through things together, right?
Oftentimes, when I am on stage, that is the central point of the entire play. And this play, we get to be people.
Yeah, and to see the relationship between your character, Andrea, her character's name is Delia, and her husband's character's name is Felix, and to see the love between those two is also very rare. I mean, depictions of black love, very rare.
That was an interview with playwright Prince Gomovilas and actors Andrea White and Samson Searoth, interviewed by Jenna Yokoyama. You can hear the full interview at kboo.fm. The Brothers Paranormal runs through November 16th at Coho Productions. That's located at 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street in Portland. More info at cohoproductions.org. Next up, we're going to hear about Shakespeare in Love at Lakewood Theater. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. And with me on the phone, waiting in the wings, is David Sicking, director of Shakespeare in Love at Lakewood Theater Company. Hey, David.
Hey, Dime. How are you?
Good. You know, we haven't talked, I think, in like decades or something. I mean, it's been a long time.
Decades.
It's always nice to hear.
No, we know each other from way back.
Way back. You know, I always say it's always nice to, you know, to meet up with people who remember back in the day in Portland, right?
I remember back in the day. I remember I was talking to Marilyn about this. So I remember seeing you in Macbeth.
Oh, my gosh. You said the actual name. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember. I'm sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's so nice to connect with you. And again, here we're going to be talking about Shakespeare. You know, I remember the original film in 1998 of Shakespeare in Love. It's just a very beautiful romantic comedy. And it's almost like the writing by Tom Stoppard and, you know, was almost like, you know, kind of Shakespearean, right? And so
it was. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about the story of the play for people who don't remember the film and if it differs from the film. I'm sure it does.
It differs a little bit, but actually it stays pretty close to the screenplay. It is, you know, adapted for the stage. So those are the major differences. But it tracks the story of a young Will Shakespeare. He's got a couple of plays under his belt, but he's still very new in his career, starting to build up a reputation for himself. But he's mainly written some, you know, some fun comedic, a little romances, and he's got a couple of the history plays under his belt, but he's yet to write any of those plays that we really maybe remember him for, and we go, ah, this guy's somebody worth watching. And the play takes place as he's starting to write his new play, and he's got writer's block, and the new play that he's supposed to be writing on a commission for the theater, the Rose Theater, is called Romeo and Ethel the Pirate's Daughter. And so that's the play he starts out trying to write, and as its merry mix-ups continue, our young heroine is introduced, Viola. And Viola is a young aristocratic woman who desires nothing more than to be on stage. But of course, at that time, in English theater and Elizabethan theater, women were not allowed to perform on stage. But she will not be held back. She is the spirit of freedom. And she dresses up as a boy and sneaks into an audition for the play, and she gets cast in the role of Romeo in this still being written, devised play. And she and Will end up discovering each other and falling in love. And the thing that is just so beautiful about the play is that as Will continues to write his Romeo and Ethel, the Pirate's Daughter, it becomes Romeo and Juliet, and it really tracks his growing relationship with Viola and the discoveries that he and she are both making about the true nature of love. And she, being an aristocrat, she's already set to be married to somebody else, so it's a doomed, it's a star-crossed romance, just like the Romeo and Juliet one. And just like in Romeo and Juliet, how Shakespeare's play starts off really as kind of a romantic comedy, and it's not until, you know, fairways into it that it takes sort of a dark spin and we see it become a tragedy. Shakespeare in Love is very similar. It has that same structure. It's, you know, very high comedy, and yet then we have this little twist, and we realize we may not get our comic happily ever after ending. It might be a little bit more poignant and melancholy, and it certainly is. And the idea is that then this character of Viola becomes Will Shakespeare's muse for all the other great works that are to come, especially you know, Romeo and Juliet in particular, Twelfth Night. And then there's a lot of fun little references to other plays, future plays to be written, you know, all throughout the text. So it's a great send up of Shakespeare, of theater in general, the theatrical process, and the importance of the arts to our own personal transformations, the transformations of ourselves as individuals, transformation of our world and our community.
That just all sounds very beautiful, David. I also remember from the film, and I don't know if you show this, that they all read from the folio being they only read their lines, right? Because they didn't have photocopy back then or carbon copy. So everybody just got their lines, and it was almost like improv because they didn't really know what was coming up from the other characters' lines or the story ahead. So do you some of that in the play too?
Absolutely. Our dramaturg, who's been helping us along with it, Michael Streeter, who's also in the play playing Richard Burbage.
Yes, I read that.
Let us know that those would have come in. Yeah, that would have come in the form of little scrolls. And so as Will comes on, as he's writing the new scenes, he hands out the scrolls, and we get to see the actors rehearsing the scene, you know, discovering the scene for the first time. And that's kind of exciting, because it kind of puts us in the room with these actors who are discovering this, what we consider to be this great and classic literary text, but here are these people who are reading it and discovering it for the very first time. And the thing that's so cool about that is that it comes out in the play. One of the reasons that they wrote them that way is there was such great competition for the scripts at that time. I mean, theater was really taking off and booming during this era, and there were just not that many plays, or not enough to feed the hungry multitudes that wanted all this new work. And so the theaters were in great competition for these new works, and they were constantly stealing each other's plays in various ways. And one of the ways they tried to protect them was by never having a complete copy of a single script all in one place. So it was in all these little different segments, and each actor had their own little piece of it.
Yeah. Well, how exciting was that, you know? I also understand that this is a fairly new adaptation. It was first produced in 2014, and OSF did it last season, I believe, or was it this season? And I think it was this season. I didn't get to see it, but there's also music in this stage version as well.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
The English production, like you said, came out a few years ago, and then Ashland was actually the first American production of it, so that was kind of exciting. There is music, and the music, of course, they own everything. It's a Disney property, so Disney owns the rights to it. And they have put together just really a lovely soundtrack that goes along with it, and that we the actors sing on stage, and you know there's just lovely music and dance, and so it's just a beautiful scoring to underline the piece.
Oh, it does sound lovely. And tell us about the design elements, because I assume it's being performed Elizabethan style.
Yes, and what's wonderful is you walk into the theater and you see on stage you are inside the Rose Theater. And it's beautiful. It's a striking set. The design is by John Girth, and he just does beautiful work out there, mainly at Lakewood. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful set. And we're just having so much fun playing on it. And you get all the balcony scenes that we have out of Romeo and Juliet, and it's rustic, and you can really see those characters from that time period out there playing on those boards, and it's very exciting.
And I assume all the actors as well are doing English dialect, and it's much the time period.
Yep. We've had some nice coaching on that, and we have a number of different English area sounds out there on stage, so it's a lot of fun to listen to.
Well, tell us about the lead roles too. I actually had some comments on Facebook that they really loved the show, so that should make you feel good. When I posted this website or the webpage, but the lead roles look like they're really charming. They really look charming.
Oh my God! Our two main characters in particular. Will Shakespeare is played by Murray Lazaroff Babin, young actor in town, and Viola is being played by Kelsey Glasser, a beautiful young actress in town. And I tell you, they just have such delightful chemistry on stage, and they have just so embodied the spirit of these two characters, their joy, their passion, how articulate they are, their love of the theater, and the sense of love and comradeship, friendship for each other that they bring onto the stage. And you see them out there, and they just they take your breath away, they steal your heart. It's just beautiful, the work that they're doing. And then the supporting cast, oh my gosh, Dee May.
go ahead, list them.
I was just shocked at the level of interest. We did our auditions for this back last spring, and we had, I think it was like 250 people show up for auditions. It was
amazing.
That's
incredible.
So it was. So it was kind of the cream of the crop that you had kind of the chance to pick from. And, so many of the names, people that you would be
I recognize some of them. Yeah, I haven't seen them either in a long time.
So it's been delightful to work with these actors that you and I have known for 30 years, just these wonderful actors, and then they're doing all these wonderful character roles, and then we have these fresh young faces, some people that I've seen on stage, some that are completely new to me, but oh my gosh, what a wonderful, dynamic, talented cast, and they're always stepping up with, I can do this, I can do this. They all have something special and unique that they're bringing to the table, and it's been one of the most exciting and rewarding ensemble experiences that I've had in a long time.
You really sound excited. I have to say,
I am
you sound incredibly excited
about
directing this play, and I know you're going into tech soon too, so.
We are in tech.
You are in tech. Oh my gosh, and you have this kind of energy. That's so great. Now, you've had a long relationship with Lakewood, right? You've worked there quite a bit?
Well, you know, I'm 57 years old, and my first show out of high school was at Lakewood.
Wow,
when I was 18,
long,
I did Anti-Mame out there.
Oh no!
And then I did a few shows with them, and then kind of went away and did some stuff, you know, downtown and around.
Oh sure, of
and
course.
It's really not been to the it's not been to the last couple of years. That I've really had the chance to get back there. And my wife, Marilyn Stacy, who you know.
Oh, yeah.
She and I took them the project God of Carnage. And so we did God of Carnage out there with them. And then last year, Marilyn and I also did Inherit the Wind with them. And then I directed Dial in for Murder, which is the first piece I've directed out there. And then had a great time with that.
Well, what's it like to work at Lakewood Center for the Arts, you know?
Oh, my gosh. They are a community. You know, they are for their community, for our larger community, of course, as well. But, I mean, they are the heart of that Lake Oswego community. And when you walk to the doors, you get a sense of that community, you know, from the top down. And they are so welcoming and trusting and giving and supportive. And, when you think about the responsibility, artistic and economic, of putting on a play, you know, you think that you might feel, you know, a little pressure from the powers that be, but oh my gosh, they're just so completely supportive. And I've just had a wonderful time directing there, the last two pieces I've done, and going out there and working as an actor. Again, they're just so kind and generous and giving to their talent. They're just a delight to work for.
Well, it sounds like a good date show to go to get ready for the holiday season.
Yes,
Shakespeare
absolutely.
In Love, directed by David Sicking, a romantic comedy based on the award-winning screenplay by Tom Stoppard and Mark Norman. The story was adapted for the stage by Lee Hall with music by Patty Kunin. Is that correct, Kunin? And
right.
It plays at Lakewood Theater Company November 1st through December 8th, and that's Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., and Sunday nights also at some shows at 7 p.m., and no performance on Thanksgiving. For tickets, call Lakewood Box Office at 503-635-3901 or visit lakewood-center.org. And you can find that info at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. David Sicking, it's so great to talk with you after all these years.
So great to talk with you, Dee.
Well, break a leg on your opening night, November 1st. Okay, well, you take care.
Thank you. You too. Thank you again.
Bye-bye. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as the podcast on iTunes. Also, like us on facebook.com/stage_studio and tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with music by Joe Kai. Hear his music at joekai.com.